If you think it's about you, you missed it. Life is not about you. It's about the one who made you. And if you know you've been made, then whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Life takes on meaning when you stop living for your own glory. Do you know what the problem is? I am obsessed with my own glory. You can let me take that one all alone, ain't you, boys? It's all about me, my mind. My schedule. My agenda. What about his? What about the Maker's? We got home from Missouri. We left a day early because we was going to get ahead of them storms, and we did. But I drove 13 and a half hours, and I realized I'm way too old for that anymore. Got home, but I'm thinking the next day I should study, but I don't want to study. I'm going to go out and get some stuff done around the house because we ain't home enough, and I'm a project person. I just love projects. I like to write them down and do them again. Anybody know that kind of person? There's only two of you. People are way more of a stress than a project. They don't talk back. They just do what you're supposed to do. So I get out in the yard and I don't know if I want this on tape. I'm so ashamed of this. The widow lady that we've been trying to witness to comes over and says, you know, hurt my back and stuff, and I can't clean up the stuff on my side of the fence and stuff. Would you come over and trim what she... I said, yeah. She said, could you bring your saw, you know? I thought, had me trim our whole side out. It took all the time. And I did it all because it was a Christian thing to do, but I was sick of what I'd gone to my own stuff. And I came home after I'd done that, and I said, Joyce, I just did all that stuff, and I didn't get a spiritual diamond. God knows my wicked heart. I pushed the flag. Oh, no. But inside, I'm thinking, oh, you old woman, why are you bothering me right now? Just one man, I can move on. Anybody know what I just said or not? That's your preacher. Boy, you can't expect much spiritual out of me this weekend, can you? What a wretch! I went in and told Joyce, and she said, oh, honey, she said, it's just sin working in you. Oh, thanks. I didn't want you to say that. He says that enough. I don't want you to join in. I had to get on my knees and ask God to cleanse me, forgive me. If Adam would have only known what he was going to do to his race with that stinking sin, because that stuff still dwells in me. It is no longer I that do it, but Paul said, sin that dwelleth in me. Got to deal with it. See, that's part of the Christian life stuff that we're going to talk about on Sunday. If you think, trust Jesus, and he'll pay all your bills, you'll always be healthy, and everybody will always like you, you are going to be disappointed. When you cross over that line, can I tell you something? All hell's going to oppose you. Fighting's within and fear's without. It's part and parcel. I got something here. Our son got off the internet. And it's a scientific descent from Darwinism. If you're it's called internet savvy or whatever you want to call it. You can get on this, you can just type in descentfromdarwin.org. Okay. It's all, I can't read such fine print. There's about 25 pages of scientists' names and their credentials. But I'm talking about a Christian organization. In fact, you might be hard pressed to find very few, if any, Christians in this list here. I don't know. But these are from Russian Institute, University of Washington, member of National Academy of Sciences, the Polish Academy of Sciences, member of the Russian Academy of Natural Sciences, Institute and Development of Biology, the Russian Academy of Science, Institute of Biophysics, Academy of Science. And here it gives all these guys' names and their PhD, all their credentials. And it says, they signed this saying, If we're going to be true to science, you cannot say that random selection and natural mutation and natural selection, all this kind of stuff, is going to be traced back to man's origin. It has no, not one legitimate ounce of substance to it. And yet we keep feeding this, force-feeding this junk to our culture, and nobody is saying, will you stop and think for a minute? This is insane to think that we evolved. Do you want to give your, are you just so many molecules in motion? Are you just, you know, no different than some amoeba or bacteria on a door handle? Where's your origin from? A series of accidents over billions of years, a product of an unguided process. We should be insulted. Somebody stands up and says that to us. And yet it's being piped to us constantly. And we say, oh, I guess so. I'll tell you something, man. God made you. Almighty God made you. But who maketh thee to differ from another? Give you these. They have fingerprints that you own. And eye maps. Your DNA, your genetic code. Gave you that. Your mother, seed, womb, daddy, pollywox. Are you following this? How about this? How do you know the stork didn't drop you off? How about that one? You realize there are thousands in the middle of them? Who chooses the one? They call it conception. It demands union. Cell division begins. Within 6 weeks, there's a beating heart within 6 weeks. Why does a Christian believe that life begins at conception? Because it does begin when God chooses this to unite with this. I had a guy tell me, I grew up and my folks told me I was an accident. Wrong! God made that happen. I was a product of a gang rape. I've heard that said. Who opens this thing and closes it? I'll tell you who does. Two fine Christian couples that want to have children their whole life, and for some reason, no conception takes place. And for another one moment, I was born out of wedlock. God made you. Nobody chose their parents. Nobody chose their gender, nor the place they were born, nor the time they were born. God in heaven made you. Do you realize what that does? Your meaning and purpose? Why? For his glory, I have origin, and he made me for a destiny. And there's meaning why I'm here. You pull them out, and just exactly what's happening in our culture is it continues to crumble when there is no God who's the maker. It's epidemic. Just pull God out of the school. Just look what's happening. And man will be without excuse. Romans 1:19. We're almost done. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by that which is made. I can tell you this. I wasn't here when the men who constructed this building made it. But I know it didn't just evolve over billions of years. Take it all apart. Crystals, springs, cogs, wheels, stem. Put it in a fruit jar. Shake it. How long would you have to shake it before it finally turned back into a watch? Do you see what we're being told about us? The haters of God, which I at one time was. I was an enemy of God and an alien in my mind by wicked works. And I had no reason why I was here. It was all about me. I was the center of the universe and everything needed to orbit about. My house, my family, my car, my kids, my mind. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. from the beginning of creation. Ah, I can't remember how it goes. Professing themselves. No? Say it louder. It's too good. You're standing saying it loud enough, so I'm going to say it. Because when they knew God as a creator, they glorified him not as God. They became vain in their imaginations. Vanity means trying to be happy without God. It didn't work. That's what vanity is. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Some people say, oh, God hardened their heart. God just turns our hearts over to us. We harden them. Let the heart go its natural course and see what happens to it. Sin destroys it. And you become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imagination. The foolish heart was dark, and professing themselves wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of an incorruptible God and made him in the likeness of a corruptible man, bird, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. We worship everything but the one who made us. All the things he made, we worship the stars, we worship the sun, we worship the earth, we worship you name it. Why don't we start worshiping the one who made them? He is God. Well, if you don't get anything out of tonight's message, get this. God made you. When you exited the womb, that was his gift to you. He made you. There's two responses, and we're done. First response, Isaiah 50:45-9. Woe to him who striveth with his maker. The word woe is a word used by Jesus a number of times, but it means to go to a funeral and grieve all you want. It will not change a thing. Woe to him who striveth with his maker. You say, but I don't believe in God. You tell him that when you see him. You tell him, I don't believe in this. Can't be happy. You can't be real. Go ahead and say that to God. Because one day, the God who made us will call us into account for the life he gave us. He's going to do it. Woe to him who striveth with his maker. Or, response number two, Psalms 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. It's his food we're eating, it's his water we're drinking, it's his air here, and it's his space we're taking up. Man, does that make life make sense? Well, he's still creating men. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. I'll unpack more of that on Sunday morning. I want to give you a memory challenge. I would challenge you to memorize 1 John 2:25. It's a simple verse, just a real small, simple verse. Look it over. Tomorrow morning, we're going to take a look at the justice of God. 1 John 2:25. Get the word of God in your hearts, men. You can't get it in your heart until you get it in your hands. You can't get it in your hands until, or your heart until you get it in your head. You can't get it. You got to go this process. Hands, head, heart. Get a chance to live it out. The justice of God and then the mercy of God. I will be sharing some things tomorrow night you probably have not heard before. Preachers don't preach it anymore. There's things that have vanished from the American pulpit by way of convenience. I fear I've been a part of that group too long. But let me pray, and then Mike, what do we have going on after this? Outside the door, okay? Lord, would you forgive me, cleanse me again, God? Maybe I don't need to ask again, but I'm just so ashamed that things I still do and I know better. Attitudes I carry that just point to my old selfishness and sinfulness. And yet, God, God, with that, I would just quickly point to the cross, where you paid the penalty and the debt of my sin, where you gave me opportunity to receive that work of you for me on my behalf, to pay the penalty of my sin. God, I pray that you would help me to see that you have made me. I have, on occasion, too often, wished I could say to the potter, you make me this way, but I'm just the clay. And I pray that I would humbly, and all of us, dear God, would acknowledge that you made us, and you made us with a purpose, and that is for your glory. May we be grateful to you for that, for giving us that opportunity of life. What a gift. Somehow, brand this upon our hearts and minds this weekend. You made us. You are God. You chose the parents. You chose the time, the place. And we give you praise and thank you. Dismiss us with that great commodity called grace. One thing we could not take our next breath without. Use this weekend, dear God, in our lives for good. Life can be hard as a Christian, but it's impossible without Christ. We cannot have life without you. We acknowledge that. So we ask for your blessing of grace upon this weekend. We'll be thankful for whatever you do, because we know you do all things well. We don't, but you do. And we bow down in worship in response to that. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Just a reminder, Q&A with Tom tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, so we'll need questions. So take time tonight on the way back to the cabin or before the morning. Drop it in that comment card in the back, questions for Tom. We'll do a little panel discussion. And then for those of you that were interested in playing paintball tomorrow, we need 20 in order to make a game. We had 9 or 10 that have signed up so far, so we still need another 10 or so to make that thing happen. So you can sign up down at the lodge either tonight or tomorrow before breakfast, all right? All right, guys, let's head on outside. Thanks.